Hello, everyone. God bless. This is Kathy, and I want to share with you tonight on something, you know, something it's been on my heart for a long time to share, and I've been working it and looking things up. And after this evening with the songs that we sang, you know, The Good Fight and How God Loves Us, and I felt like, oh, okay, God, you know, okay, you know, because that was such an uplifting and so special for us. And that's something we need to be reminded of, is that God loves each one of us. No matter what we do each day, He loves us when we obey Him. Tremendously, He loves us. And He even loves us when we don't obey, because He gives us tools to help us get back to God. He never turns His back on us. He's always there. We might not think it, He's there. We might be going, like the one song said, going through tribulation or going through different aspects of our lives where sometimes we don't recognize God being there with us, and we make choices, or we let the adversary talk us out of who we are. And that's one thing I've learned, even with God in the Old Testament. He loved His people. So I'm going to start at the beginning, pretty much the beginning. So turn to Genesis. That is pretty much the beginning. And chapter 3. We have read this account so many times, and we have this certain picture, you know, of Eve and Adam, Eve being tricked by the adversary. But I've been really looking at it in the Old Testament and how God, even when that happened, He loves us. And you know, a lot of people say, well, God was angry and they punished Him. And I think God's heart was hurt. I don't think He was, I mean, He was hurt. He had created this man and this woman to live in this space with Him, to talk with Him, to share their lives together. And we don't know what would have happened, you know, if that continued. We don't know if they would have children. We don't know. And so, but God, if you listen to this account and picture yourself in it, you would get a new perspective. In verse 8, and they heard the voice of Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Okay, this was something new. They never hid themselves from God. They were always out in the open. You know, they were always there, you know, hearing God's voice and going to it and talking to Him. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, I hid myself. Okay, this is the first time Adam kind of looked at himself and went, oh, I'm naked. Prior to that, he had no right or wrong that was something that was wrong. And this is the first time he was afraid. He was never afraid before that. And then this was also the first time he hid himself from God, you know. And that's what I want to share with you tonight, is we no longer need to hide from God. And I'm going to share things from the Old Testament and then also from the New Testament. But then let's go on. And so he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shalt not eat? He reminds him, you know, didn't I tell you guys you cannot eat of this tree, that you shall die? And so here was Adam responding back. And the man said, the woman who thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Now, this is, think of this. Prior to that, everything was good. They had no recognition what evil was or what badness was. You know, they had complete communication with each other. It doesn't tell us why Eve was intrigued by the adversary, by the snake. It doesn't tell us a lot, but it does tell us that they responded, that she responded. But what's unique about this, that Adam had a choice here. He could have picked up and said, oh my God, Lord, we did not obey you. My wife, my lovely wife, was tricked by the adversary. She got into a conversation, didn't realize what was happening. She forgot what you told us, that who would surely die, that, you know. So you can see that, you know, but he didn't do that. He blamed his wife and saying, thou givest me. She's the one who gave it to me, and I took it, you know. And so the Lord God said unto the woman, this is the verse 13, what is this that thou done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. At least she kind of told the truth there. You know, she got beguiled, and she did eat. Because something happened in her thinking that she saw that it was good. And why, I don't know. I mean, if you're living a perfect paradise, you wouldn't think of doing something like that. But then think of just your own times where everything's going real good, and sometimes you make a decision that is just not the best decision. You kind of forget what God has said to you. So then in 14, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, and upon the belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. He cursed that thing. He's like, you know, whatever that was at the beginning, it's now it's going to be this ugly snake that's just going to crawl on his body and just cause havoc everywhere it goes. Because that's what snakes do a lot of times. Now we're going to skip 15, but we'll come back to it. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. Thy conception in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire to be to thy husband, and he shall rule over you. At that time, something changed. Because God never said that Adam was going to rule over Eve. He said he created Eve to be a helpmate, to be a partner with him, to work together as one, you know. But here's a change in their lives and stuff. And then unto Adam, he says, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of the wife, and hath eaten the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of our life. Thorns also thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of the face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Always it amazed me, because even though God did this, you know, Eve technically is the first woman. It's from her that we get the start of the seed of Christ. You know, you think of her having her children, then her children, until we got to Noah. Then we had the great flood, but then that line continue on to time that Jesus Christ. So even though she did something really horrible, God still gave her a title. And I've been thinking about that, and I go, God loved Eve. He loved Adam, and it was so hard for him to realize what they have done. So yeah, they had met the consequences. She would then have pain in birth, and I was thinking, well, she didn't have that before. How, you know, it was just kind of fascinating to think, you know, where her head was and everything. And did they really realize what they had lost? And verse 23, therefore, and I will come back to 21, 22, therefore the Lord God sent them forth in the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which they was taken. So they were sent away, and they had, I think, Cain first, and then Abel, and then sadly we had our first murder, in a sense, that Cain killed Abel, thank you. And Cain, but even when that happened, God didn't he sent Cain away. Cain didn't die or didn't, you know, you think of that, God just really loved these people, and he did everything he could to keep it within what his word was and what his tenderness was and his compassion. So we also learn in the Old Testament there were other men of God who sometimes didn't obey God. Sometimes they argued with God. Sometimes they hid from God. Sometimes they were just tired and they just wanted to quit. Mm-hmm. And we know that Moses was called to save the slavery in Egypt, and God called to him, and Moses said, you know, who am I? You know, I mean, come on, I can't speak in front of the Pharaoh, you know? And God answered, said, I will be with you. Now, you would think Moses would be very happy, right? Okay, God's with me. But no, he complained again to God. Look, I can't talk smoothly. I can't talk right. You know, come on. You know, God finally said, okay, here's Aaron. Now, I want to share something real quick. When I was doing things for PTA where I had to be on stage, I had to name off names for this program that we were in, and I went to my committee and said, I need an Aaron. Of course, they all looked at me like, what? Of course, it gave me a chance to share the word, but I told them I need an Aaron. I need someone to stand up for me in front of everybody and read off all these names, because I have a real hard time pronouncing words, and I didn't want to embarrass the kids or myself. And so I would have someone speak for me so I could understand this whole section. And so this is when God chose Aaron. Jeremiah was another reluctant. God said to him, I have appointed you as a prophet to the nation. And Jeremiah responds, Oh, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. And God answered again, Do not be afraid, for I am with you. He always helped us when we go back to him and go, don't pick me, God. I'm not the one you want to pick. You want to pick Judy, not me. But God will say, oh, I am with you. There were also a lot of prophets who hid themselves. Elijah hid himself in a cave because of Jezebel. Now, there was a good reason for him to hide, because, you know, she was going out there and get rid of him, you know. But he forgot what he had just accomplished before that. He forgot that he got rid of the priests of Baal. You know, that was a mighty deed, you know. But he forgot about that, how God helped him to do that. And so he was afraid of Jezebel. And then there's a section of the word that he goes and collapses underneath the tree and goes, okay, God, this is it. No more. I'm done. Just take me away. Just let me perish right here. And God brought ravens to feed him and build him back up and spoke to him and just build him up so that he was ready to do the next thing. Jonah, we all know about Jonah in the whale. You know, that's a wonderful story, too, you know, how he was afraid because the people that he was supposed to talk to about destruction would not have been too happy about it. But he tried to run away from God again, but God saved him and build him up and share his love with him. And he was able to do what God had told him to do. Even in the Gospels and the epistles, we have examples. Peter, remember he said, oh, I won't deny you, Jesus Christ. I won't. And Jesus Christ was very firm and said, yes, you're going to, you know, deny me six times. There's six different episodes of where he denied him. And he's, oh, no, I'm not. And he runs off. And then he realized that that's what he did. The disciples hid behind closed door right after the resurrection, the risen. You know, he saw Jesus Christ. They saw him. But they hid behind closed door because they were afraid. But Jesus showed himself to them, and he loved them, and they were forgiven for that. So, and then again, Peter in Acts, where he hid himself. He wouldn't come down for dinner. And I wasn't able to read that part, but I would encourage you to go back and read this. So, here are all these people, but I think the person who I really want to share with you is David. And he is an example of someone who blew it really big time. We all know the story, you know, but I don't think we know what was going on prior to that. David was having a lot of victories, of fighting, and he kind of got tired. And he kind of got lazy. So he starts setting out his man without him. And so he kind of succumbed to that kind of a life is life, you know, laziness maybe, you know, not really forgetting who he was. And so he was attracted to Bathsheba. And he did what, you know, I learned from the classes that kings were allowed to do that, you know, take, you know, tell a woman, I want you, you know, and she would obey. And we know the story. And then we know that what was wrong about the whole situation is that when she was found that she was pregnant, he was afraid what the people might say to him. So he tried to set up the thing with her husband. And then that didn't work out, so he sent her husband to the front of the fields of this battle they were going through, knowing that he would not come back. And so he was aware of what was going on. So turn to Psalms 13. Because here's where... he starts praying for help. And this is probably what, even before that, this was probably during the time of Saul, when he was hiding from Saul a lot, and he was, you know, Saul was after him. But I wanted to kind of share what his heart was or what was going on in his thinking. In verse 1 it says, how long, O Jehovah, wilt thou forget me forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? He was really crying to God here, you know. He goes, God, you know, these people are after me all the time. What, you know, where are you? Where are you? But what's so cool that David was able to, he was sorrowful. But look what he did in verse 5. But I have trusted in thy loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto Jehovah, because he has dealt bountifully with me. He turned to God. He went to God. He shared his heart with God. In chapter 51, you don't have to go there, but it gives the kind of what he was going through, because this was the time that Nathan came and told him what he had done, you know. And so he is recognizing the things that he had done, and he was so sorrowful. Well, turn to 51, because there's a great verse in there. Psalm 51, same voice. Sorry, I spent a lot of time going through that. That's why I highly recommend you go back and read these, because it's kind of like the songs that we listened to this earlier, you know, how God does not forsake us and God doesn't leave us and God is there for us, even when we're in dire need or in trouble and stuff. So 51. And it says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tiny mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and I've done that which is evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and I'll be clean without judges. And then he talks again in verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, he recognizes what he'd done, and he took ownership of that. He didn't try to hide it. He didn't try to say it was her fault. He came clean with God, and then he praised God afterwards. And God got heard. And then Psalms 139 is a great song, and it goes, each verse is just amazing of what David was seeing in relationship to God. So hold on, I'll be right there. A lovely chapter. There are a lot of chapters in Psalms. Okay, here we go. O Jehovah, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou searchest me out my path and my laying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but thou, O Jehovah, that thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and hast laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it until it. And then it talks where in verse 9. Oh, it talks in verse 8. If I ascend into the heavens, thou art there. If I make my bed in Shiloh, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. What a promise. What a relationship that David had with God. You know, he comes to him, confesses all that he's done, praises him, and then tells him, you know me. You know every little bit of who I am. You know me at the beginning when I was created in my mom's womb. You know, I was wonderfully made. You knew everything about me, you know. And that is saying for us, too. We can look at these verses and say, you know, God, you know me. You know my heart. You know my thoughts before even I know them. And, you know, it's just amazing how God does it. So So why do we hide? Okay, I'll be honest. I hide a lot of time from God. Well, it's because I'm angry at God, angry with myself. I blame God for what's going on. I blame others. I'm hurt. I'm this, I'm that, I'm that, and that. And you hide. You withdraw. You withdraw from people. And God doesn't want that. You know, He did not create us for hiding. Now, we do play hide and seek, and that's fun, but we do find each other. But God, you know, He wants that relationship with us. Even when we're sad, even when we feel lonely, even when we feel that we lost our connection with God, He is just waiting there to us to call Him and say, God, I need you. Show me. Teach me. So turn to back to Genesis 15. 3:15, yes. I told you I will come back to these, and I hope I'm not going longer. So as for us, we hide from God also because we don't realize at times who we are and who we are in Christ. That's one thing, remember, Ken Penny always told us, the reason why we don't reap the greatness of God's love and benefits sometimes is that we forget who we are in Christ. It's Christ, you know, it's Christ in us. And that cannot be taken away. We ourselves hide it in our hearts, or we put it in the back of our thinking and we go off and say, well, I don't need that. But we do need that. It's Christ. It's there. It's never going to be taken away. We just hide it because either we're afraid or we don't know what to do. So, 15, and this was something that God said to the serpent after he cursed him. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This was God's promise. And this was even before he let them out of the garden. You know, was even before he told them of the curse. He gave them a promise. And he gave that promise to every person in the Old Testament, you know, through the prophets telling them examples of the coming Christ. And that's what keeps them together. And that's what keeps us together, because Christ is coming back. Praise God, you know. So then, I always, when I read verse 21, it just brought that different perspective. And it says, verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he be put forth in his hand, take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. He gave them a promise, and he clothed them. And then they meet the consequences of their wrongdoing, because we always got, you know, God's going to say, you know, okay, you did this, you're late to work every day, you lost your job, okay, you know, I've been trying to wake you up, you know, these dialogues we have. But, you know, he clothed them. And when I saw that, wow, you know, that is great love from a loving God. He didn't just throw them out in the field and tell them, you know, go figure it out yourself. You know, they did, but he didn't, you know. But, you know, so in closing, the scripture says, everyone that believes in him will not be ashamed. That is Romans 10:11. Today I call you to believe in God. Trust him when he said he has bore all our sins on his back. 1 Peter 2:24. Trust him when he says he will make you new. Ezekiel 36:26. Trust him when he said that in sin himself you are made righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And trust him when he said that our sins are forgiven. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. So we no longer have to hide. You know, we can come. And I'm not saying that you'll never will hide again. I won't say that because I don't know. Sometimes you just get so frustrated and scared and you just don't think God's going to take care of you, and so you do hide. But it's like David, when he was telling about all these things that he was happening, but he, at the end, praised God. It's like, yeah, this is, but God, you are my heavenly Father. You are my fortress. You are my protector. You gave me Christ. I need to claim that instead of all this other garbage. So that's what I kind of want to share, because this was something that's been going on in my life the last couple of years and stuff. And I was trying to figure out why am I learning all this stuff and why is this happening? And when I read, you know, Genesis again and see how things got started, but to see how big our Heavenly Father is, because He's big, and we have a tendency to hear people always say, oh, God's angry and mean and, you know, all this other garbage. And, you know, our God's not. He took care of His people even when they had their backs against Him. And some didn't make it through. Yes, that's true, because that's life sometimes. But those that trusted God, they reap the wonderful rewards that God gave them. So that's what I wanted to share. So I'll pray. So Heavenly Father, I just thank You that You have called each one of us out tonight, that we are Your children, that You care for us. We are like those young little babies and little toddlers that we sometimes don't know why we do the things we do. We don't obey, but we come to You, Father, and we are thankful. So, Father, I just lift each one of us, that we can just fight that good fight, that we know that we are protected underneath Your wings. There are hiding places in You and in Christ Jesus. That is our hiding place. That is where we can go to get comfort and built up. So, Father, I just thank You for all these things. To Your name, to Your Son's name, Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.